The Old Testament clearly directs us to Jesus in many places. The Gospel shows us that Jesus spent 33 years living perfectly on earth. He often spoke of future times. Today, Brother David Johnson will tell us about future events by using some of the words of Jesus, "When you see all these things," found in Matthew 24, verses 32 through 35. We will hear the sermon by Brother Johnson soon, but first we present songs of praise for our Lord.
In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my voice. I lift up my voice to the Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you.
Please pray with me. Holy Father, we humbly bow before you in recognition that you are God, the creator of everything. All that exists is yours, and we recognize your power. Thank you for Jesus, who made our future a great blessing by what he did. Please use the words of this program for your purpose. We ask your special blessing to be upon all listeners, and we likewise request your help for their health, peace, and spiritual growth. Please bless each one who faces Satan's opposition as they worship or tell others about Jesus. And when Jesus returns, we ask that we will be found ready. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Brother David Johnson will now present in sermon, "When You See All These Things."
It's wonderful to be together again as we look in to the Word of God, that we understand it ourselves, that we apply it to our lives, that we share, that we witness the truths of God to others with respect and with love. The title for the lesson is, "When You See All These Things." And the text is in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 24, verses 32 through 35, as our main text. Please listen to the Word of God. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. This is the Word of God. We continue in our series regarding unfulfilled prophecy. A prominent question often asked goes like this: are there signs that we are indeed in the last of the end times? This issue usually includes those of either ends of the extreme. First, this question has been and continues to be a playground for fanatics who see signs in just about everything, all the time. The other extreme, on the other end, is that the whole notion of signs is utter nonsense. The truth lies somewhere in between these extremes. Scripture does shed some light on this controversial issue of signs, pointing us to being in the last of the end times. Let's consider some statements from Jesus Christ himself as he responded to a question from his disciples recorded in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3 that says in part, "What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered in part, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Due to modern technology, the gospel is now going out, for example, via shortwave and satellite radio, plus internet radio podcasting, and many other technological platforms, potentially to all nations on the earth. And yet, numerous small people groups have not yet been reached, according to the experts, with the gospel in their own language that they can understand. Also, for example, consider the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 27. "For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." Well, what does this mean? Here Christ distinguishes his true coming in this context from the many counterfeit claims of his coming. That is, that Christ's coming will be certain, sudden, publicly visible to all on the earth at that time, as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west. Also, for example, consider Matthew chapter 24 and verse 30. "At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory." Well, what sign? Over the centuries, Christians have come up with numerous, even fanciful, opinions as to this sign. For example, many early so-called church fathers, such as Chrysostom and Origen, believed that this sign would be an enormous blazing cross, visible to the whole world before his coming. Others claim it will be the radiating light in the skies of Christ's Shekinah glory, that is, of his visible divine presence. Yet Jesus seems to answer this sign as being, quote, "See the Son of Man coming?" in this verse. That is, the sign is not just his glorious brilliance, but he himself bodily visible, which is sign enough. Obviously, this type sign will occur right before or as Jesus Christ comes on the clouds. Cultic quasi-Christian group leaders have claimed to pinpoint the return of Christ. As, for example, Herbert W. Armstrong of the Worldwide Church of God, Charles T. Russell of the Jehovah's Witnesses, who actually predicted Christ would return in the year of our Lord 1914. When this wasn't universally evident, he claimed that Christ returned secretly, having only revealed himself to members of the Jehovah's Witnesses. And also Joseph Smith, founder of the Mormons, who implied that Christ would return about 1891. Unfortunately, even leaders of generally acceptable evangelical Christian churches have sometimes made similar predictions. For example, in 1970, Hal Lindsey published the book that he wrote, The Late Great Planet Earth, that eventually sold some 28 million copies. He suggested that Christ would return at least by 1988. Lindsey drew his calculation from the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, verses 32 through 34. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these signs, you know that it or he is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation or race will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Lindsey interpreted the fig tree to be a figurative symbol for the nation of Israel, and the budding of the fig tree to be a description of Israel's re-emergence as a nation in its own original land and the prosperity that followed. He also understood this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened, as referring to the generation that sees Israel as a nation in their own land again. Israel became a nation in 1948 after an incredible 25 years of being under the control of foreign or Gentile powers. Furthermore, Lindsey determined from Scripture, according to the Old Testament, that a generation was 40 years. So by adding 40 years, one generation, from 1948, Jesus had to return sometime before or by 1988. What Lindsey missed was that this fig tree parable is also found in a parallel passage of the same occasion of Jesus' words. Consider Luke chapter 21 and verse 29 that says, "Look at the fig tree and all the trees." By this detail that the inspired evangelist Luke includes here, the fig tree does not represent Israel, nor Israel becoming a nation again. Well, why? Because Israel cannot, at the same time, be symbolized by a fig tree and all the trees. Therefore, this parable of Jesus is simply a lesson from looking at trees in general. That is, when trees visibly bear their leaves in the spring, you know that summer is next and nearer. So Jesus was simply teaching that when you see all these things, you can know that his return to earth is near. Well, what things? Those that Jesus predicted that would happen, that would come to pass before his return to the earth. For example, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15 that says in part, "So when you see, standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel." So suffice to say This refers to when the final Antichrist sets up an image in the temple, or at least the holy place of worship for Jews in Jerusalem. This implies a nation of Israel with control of Jerusalem as its capital, which is now reality after 2,500 years. But naysayers say no. This prophecy of Jesus has already been fulfilled in AD 70 when the Roman general Titus desecrated and destroyed the temple. However, the Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation in about the year of our Lord 95, well after Titus destroyed the temple in AD 70, saw a still future fulfillment that he recorded in Revelation chapter 13, verses 14 through 15, regarding the final Antichrist. Also note the prophecy of Jesus that must happen before the coming of Christ to this earth in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21. For then there will be a great distress. The New American Standard Bible refers to it as a great tribulation, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. Likewise, the scope and the severity of Jesus' words cannot refer only to the destruction and dispersion of the Jews in AD 70, but as graphically detailed also in the book of Revelation in chapters 6 through 18, which is still yet future before the coming of Christ to this earth. However, also consider the words of Jesus regarding any human knowing the timing of his return. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Most probably the Son not knowing was while he was yet on the earth. Now that he is in heaven, fully exercising his deity, he surely knows the time of his own return. Most would be surprised to find out that nowhere in a legitimate literal translation or version of the Bible are the exact words, quote, second coming of Christ, end quote, found. Of course, Christ's coming or return is clearly indicated many times in the New Testament. For example, the words of Jesus himself. John chapter 14 and verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus Christ is returning bodily to take faithful Christians to the place he has prepared for us. A close reading of the New Testament regarding Christ's return does present a seeming contradiction. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36, Jesus stated in part, "No one knows about that day or hour." The implication is that the coming of Christ is as a sudden surprise event without any prior signs. However, in other passages of Scripture, the indication is that his coming will be preceded by very observable signs. For example, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 29. Immediately after the distress or tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then, the very next verse, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 30, states in part, "They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds." That is, here, Christ's coming will quickly follow these cosmic signs in the sky first, and be universally seen by all. So how can these seemingly contradictory passages of the coming of Christ without prior signs versus with preceding signs be reconciled? The solution is the word coming in the New Testament. When referring to his coming in the future, can include various stages or events, not just a single coming. We often use the word coming in this way in our normal conversation. We may say, for example, when my family comes, we will celebrate Thanksgiving together. That does not need to mean the exact time they arrive at our house. They might arrive on a Saturday, but we'll celebrate Thanksgiving on Thursday. We also speak of the first coming of Christ to refer to his birth. Yet we may use the same phrase, his first coming, to refer to his death on the cross. His first coming may refer to one primary, brief event, or refer to all the events that happened to Jesus while he was on the earth, from birth to his ascension. The return of Christ, according to many strong implications, inferences, involves a series of events with at least two major stages. First, Christ will return only in the air, not to the earth, and quickly catch up or rapture his church. Then they will all return to heaven. This is the first stage of the coming of Christ. It will occur suddenly, without warning, with no prior signs. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, it says in part, "No one knows about that day." However, at the climax of the future tribulation to come upon the entire earth and the preceding cosmic signs in the sky, it also states that in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 30, that says in part, "They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds." This will be the second stage of the coming of Christ to this earth. Obviously, according to Scripture, immediately following many signs, many warnings, this will point to Jesus coming with justice to judge. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. The first stage of Christ's coming is about joy for his saints. However, the second stage of his coming is about justice toward sinners, unrepentant sinners. Many Christians include general signs as evidence that Christ is coming again to this earth. These include not just the frequency, but also the severity of many natural disasters across the planet. The ability of mankind to totally annihilate the human race, for example, by nuclear weapons. Many include climate change that may threaten life on Earth, or pestilences, or rising political and economic characteristics that contribute to a coming one world government that increase, and also the increase of global communications, the explosion of technology, the spread towards a cashless society, and especially the establishment of the modern nation of Israel in her own land, with control of Jerusalem. So finally, consider this illustration. Three ministers were discussing when Christ returns to the earth. What church will he go to? The Episcopalian said, "The Episcopal Church, of course, because of our line of apostolic succession." The Pentecostal said, "The Pentecostal Church, because of our enthusiasm." The Christian said, "Of course, he would go to the Church of Christ. Why should he change after all these thousands of years?" Well, that's a bit humorous, but of course, we don't need to worry about churches or denominations anymore once Christ comes and reigns. In eternity, all believers of every dispensation will finally be one joyful family together, but Jesus has to return first. It's our Savior that we're waiting to see face to face. Come, Lord Jesus. Revelation 22:20.
Softly.
If you have not yet made a commitment to Jesus in faith and obedience, we encourage you to open your life to Him. Promises are sure and His blessings are great. Please consider Jesus today. If we can help you in your commitment to Jesus, please contact us. To receive a free recording of this and last week's program, ask for CD number 2020. That's CD 2020. We look forward to hearing from you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.
Sing them over again to me.